Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. I was thinking about that. Some of you guys today might be a little tired. What God asks you today is when you're at this church service is to leave everything out on the field. Don't go back home and go, man, I wish I'd have brought it. If you brought it, leave it here. Bring it. Don't take any back with you. Share the joy of Jesus with somebody sitting by you. You might even want to tell them, yeah, I need a little room. I'm fixing to praise God today. Push the chips in the center of the table. Say, I'm all in for Jesus. Yes. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Understanding of God is far beyond what you guys can even fathom. Let me tell you a story. He says that he knows the stars. He's put them in the sky, and he knows them by name. If we believe that astrologers or astronomers have counted the stars in the sky, maybe they took a snapshot and counted how many are in there and multiplied it times whatever they multiply. That would mean there's sextillion amount of stars in the sky. And you said, what is that number? 40 sextillion stars in the sky. That's 40 with 21 zeros after that. 40 with 21 zeros after that. So if each star had a page in your Bible with its name on there, you would have 20 quadrillion books with each star having its own page. You say, why do I do all that? Why do I say all that? It's because you can't conceive that God has numbered the stars in the sky, gave them all names, so what you're struggling with today is not too much for God. Amen. Amen. It's clapworthy. 40 sextillion. I try to get my head around that with 21 zeros. So I wrote it down just so I could see it. And I wrote 21 zeros, and then I had to go underneath the next notebook line and add six more zeros under the ones that I had up there already. And God spoke to me in that, and he said, I can handle all your problems. I can handle the problems that are going on in your life, in the church life, in our state, in our country, and around the world. He says, I got a lot of power. And for you to comprehend that, it's just not going to happen. That's where you would have faith and put all your faith and all your trust in him. And then it says he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. So if you came in and your faith is a little weak, lean on mine. I got a truckload this morning. And when my faith is a little light, I might be leaning on you. But here's the deal, you got to continue to be a bodybuilder for the Lord. Verse 30 says, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. So let's talk about that a little bit. As we get ready, you know, when we take the kids down to Branson and this kind of thing, they're always jacked up. They're pumped up. They're drinking energy drinks and coffee and candy and everything. Woo, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? After they've been down at the lake for about 5 or 6 days, on the way back, they run out of gas, but God never will, is the message today. God doesn't need an energy drink. He is the energy drink. Somebody ought to shout in the church today about that. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases the strength. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But for they who wait on the Lord, Boy, don't you wish you could hurry God up just a little bit. I was working on a situation, and I always have to believe the best of everybody until they show me otherwise, because that's what God does. I was wanting God to hurry up and give me an answer to the situation I was going through. And I was talking to Pastor Aaron about it, and we was kind of conversing back and forth, and God showed up like he always does. And the result was better than what I was actually praying for. And you say, well, I'd like to get me some of that. Well, today's the day to get some of that. Because it's all about being refreshed. Refresh is to restore the strength, to revive, to freshen up, and renewing and supplying. Some of you guys need a new supply of the Holy Ghost. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Let me tell you something about eagles. Not only are eagles represent freedom here in the United States of America, but eagles are bad. Out of my farm, when you drive past one, there might be one sitting there by the highway and it'll have its talons in something. Eagles are bad. When your faith is a little weak, you can mount up on these eagles or these angels that God has sent to you and for you. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Here's the deal. I may look. Somebody said that to me. They said it was actually, never mind, I'm not going to tell you who said it, but he says, Pastor, he said, you look a little tired. It was 2 days ago. He said, you look a little tired. Here's the deal. I may look like a lot of things, but I can tell you one thing, that I am in the Lord, and it's not tired. Amen. I'm never tired, ever. God has renewed my strength as a Christian. I have more strength and more power now today at 56 years old than I had 21 years ago when I got saved. I do more in a day's time than I've ever done in my whole life. So if you're looking for God to do something in your life, today's the day to get that done. And don't try to tap out just because you got gray hair. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we might be old. We may hobble when we walk. We may drag a leg. But we're richly supplied. Church, I said richly supplied. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. God, we may not look like much, but inside, the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us. It's sufficient to ward off the cunning attack of the evil one. It is sufficient to supply us with all we need today. It is sufficient for us to cast out devils and get our families in line. It is sufficient to lead, guide, and direct the affairs of our church and the United States of America. Father God, we pray for godly men and women in office. And we pray for the offering today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So would you applaud the Lord today in 2021? Let the offering be picked up. God's got a good message for you out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's not very long, so you guys will be out of here just in time to do whatever it is you do on Sundays. Hopefully get some rest and go eat ice cream. I'll talk about that in a little bit. I finally went to a cafe after my daughter, granddaughter's basketball game. And they serve burgers, fries, and ice cream. And it's the four food groups that I care most about. I never even got to the ice cream, so I'm going to have to go back and get that. Terry, by the time I got done with the burgers and fries, I was like, man, I'm going to have to, I'll have to come back and get the ice cream. So I plan on doing that. But in Jesus, I want you to know he doesn't want to give you just the crumbs. He wants you to give the living bread. So as a Christian, don't go for crumbs. Go for the full meal deal. Put your hands on the Bible, and we'll just ask God to bless the message today. And if you want to be refreshed, place your hands on the Bible and ask God to do that first. So, Father God, as we place our hands on the Bible, we pray for a refreshing, special dose of the Ghost. We pray, Father God, that you heal us where we hurt, get our minds back in line, get our bodies to follow suit. Our confession is we love you. Our confession is that we believe in miracles. And let it start here. Let it start today, and for not just our friends in the sanctuary, but in the sanctuaries across the country on live stream, as we give you the glory in thy name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. So let me kind of break this down, and I do got a couple of funnies for you in there. It's kind of, I think you'll find humorous. I did, for sure. But 2 Timothy is about the Apostle Paul telling young Timothy, as he pastors a church in Ephesus, that there's going to be some difficulties in times to come. And I think in 2021, we kind of feel like, well, maybe he was talking just about 2021. No, he's talking about in the last days after Jesus was hung on the cross, then those are the last days. This is the church age, the last days. Kind of like the Roman centurion was standing or kneeling, whatever, below the cross. Then after he gave up his spirit, the tombs were open and the things cracked and all kinds of things. And the Roman soldier just kind of looked up and goes, oh, man, we made a big mistake. He really is the Savior. Know today that this Jesus that I speak of that has saved your soul is the Savior of the world. And he's sufficient for all your problems that you got going on. So it started then, and it's here in 2021, and it's all good and all usable for the things that you're going through. And I encourage you to take a bulletin home with you. It's got some refresh stuff in it, and maybe help your week out a little bit. So here's what Paul says to Timothy, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And if you know what I'm talking about today, difficulty, just shake your head, and then you can apply the finances and the relationships and the sicknesses and the overabundance of media that you don't need to know about all the time. Just difficulty, and however you process that. And before I get into this discussion today, we love people on all sides of the aisle. The church is made up of a bunch of Christians who love people right where they're at. We'll leave the judging up to God and the details up to God. Our job is to love the people, and that's the rest. The rest of the story's up to God. I haven't fixed anybody yet, and I don't know that I ever will. So I leave that all up to God, and it gets me out of the it gets me out of the hot box, if you will. Amen? So he says that in the end times, these end times, there's going to be difficulty. So apply that difficulty to this story today. And he says, for people will be lovers of self. I think, you know, some people whether it's in Hollywood or the political landscape, they have fallen in love with themselves once again. They're lovers of money. They love money. Money drives them. Money is their God. Money is what they live for. It's money, 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 and I have this and I have that. And there's nothing wrong with money, but the love of money is evil. Money in itself is not evil. It's just a bunch of paper that's supposed to represent gold, but that's for another story. Now we just print it and just pass it out. But don't get me on that soapbox, because that's a... But I don't want to love money, because money actually can't do anything for me. It can't save my soul. It can't heal me. It can't make my relationship better. I know you think it can. If I just had more money, things would be more better. Did you hear that English? More better. But I mean, we think that money's, and if we, watch this, if we marry somebody that's got like more money, it'll be better. No, you'll just have more problems in a more bigger house than you had before. You go, I thought all these would go away when I had more money. No, the problems are still the same. And people are still people regardless of where they live at or their social scale or whatever. They're proud, they're arrogant, they're abusive, they're disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy. They're heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. These people, they get into all these different things. They fall into these traps where, I have to be more powerful in the political scheme. I have to have more money, or I have to have the latest designer clothing. I just wouldn't be able to make the designer clothes. So I have a story about designer clothes. I was in my front room, and Jonathan and Keelan were there, and they were looking at these different things, and these kids look at the tennis shoes, and they do things that kids do, and then Jonathan showed me a picture of this one pair of pants. These were, say it with me, designer pants. And he said, these are $1,000. He would. You can talk to Jonathan after the service. It's a true story. And the pants have holes in them all the way down. Can you see here? All the way down the legs, they're just full of holes. Thought, man, I need to be a designer. True story. I'm thinking this in my mind. You know, I got the market cornered on designer, right? So I thought about this, and I thought, the other day I was taking my staff to lunch on Friday, and I was getting into my truck. And it was kind of cold, so I wasn't sure where I was going to be, you know. So I put on some long handles and put on my jeans. I thought I was going to a rodeo, but that's another story. And had the long handles on, had the jeans on, the Wrangler jeans on. And I'm getting into my truck, and my one truck is pretty tall. It's four-wheel drive. And I grabbed the steering wheel, and when I went to get up in it, I blew the whole bottom part of the Wranglers out just from here to there. And not that you guys need to know any of this, but this is part of the story. So you can look at me and see that not only did I need to go out to eat, but I wanted to go out to eat. So I wasn't going to let the attire mess up the dinner and ask me, say, how'd you work that out? Well, here's the deal. So I was out in the parking lot, and I was like, man, that whole thing is designer. And I go, I know God's not okay with me walking in his house like this, but I want to go to the dinner. And they wanted me to go because I was paying for it. So, is everybody, you're with the story? So I have this neck gaiter. Everybody's got them on. You just wear them regardless. They're getting to be, even if you don't use them as a master, there's cool factors high on these things. So I took the gaiter. This was a long one. And a guy just gave it to me. It's red, white, and blue, my favorite. And I made like a designer loincloth. True story. Aren't you glad you're here, Phil? And you're going, oh, man, I got to get back to my church. This guy's nuts. Got a couple visitors here today. I tucked the gaiter in my belt and let it kind of flap down like Tarzan. I knew I had clothes in the office for boxing, you know, and I had some shorts and some shoes there, and so I was like, I need to go. So what I'll do is I got black long johns on. I'll pull my shorts over these, ditch the boots, and go with the tennis shoes. And my tennis shoes are multicolored Converse high tops. They're yellow, green, and orange, and all those crazy colors. And I came out, and they're like, you're not going like that, are you? I go, this is Pastor Pat's new design. So don't let designer keep you out of a good meal. So, or out of the restaurant. So these people, they're into these things, the designer Jesus and the designer label, and if you have it and all these things. He said they're heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now watch this. 5 brings us all together and says, having the appearance of godliness. Say it with me. I have the appearance of godliness. I got the Bible. I got the nice suit. I got the shiny car outside. And I live in a big house on the hill. It appears that I'm godly. Some of the most messed up people in the whole wide world got all kinds of money, and they claim to have God in their life, and they ain't got a lick of God, and God ain't never been to their house. Well, hold on. And you also have to invite them into your church as well. Just because you got a church building doesn't mean God's there. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. They deny the power of Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. On Judgment Day, everybody ends up being a believer. Now, whether you make it into heaven or not is between you and God. But you'll believe that Jesus Christ is Lord one day. And then he finishes that thought off with this. Avoid such people. Say that with me. Avoid. One more time. Avoid. Doesn't mean you don't pray for them. Doesn't mean you don't want them to go to church. Don't mean any of that stuff at all. It just means don't burn up too much time with those people, because there's a lot of other people you could be with that can encourage you and lift you up in the kingdom of God. Amen. That brings me to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, if you turn over there with me. And I want to tell you that when I was going through this, actually me and Mike Sr. were kind of going through this. And I just want to start with the first church that it mentions out of the 7 churches. And this is the church in Ephesus. Just so happens to be the church that Paul was talking to young Timothy about. He says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. So, and I want to tell you ahead of time, if you've never read the end of the book, we win. Amen. Christians win. Amen. If you want to know what happens in the end, read the book of Revelation. And those who die in Jesus Christ live forever. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks among the 7 gold lampstands. So here, Jesus is bringing a revelation to John the Revelator on the island of Patmos. The 7 gold lampstands are the 7 churches that he addresses here in this book. I know your works, your toil, and your patience, endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. Close your eyes right now, and I'm going to ask you a question for you who are here and you who are at home. You might have seen people on TV. You might have worked with people. They might be in your office cubicle. They may have said something about you or your party. They may have said something about you and your family. They may have said something about you and your church. They may have said something about you and your pastor. I want to ask you something while your eyes are closed. Would you like to love them today and quit hating them? Keep your eyes closed. Because here's what I have found out. When you burn up a bunch of energy hating somebody, it's energy you could be using and should be using to show them the love of Jesus Christ. I don't know, you've tried it that way, church, before you was born again. We all did, I think. You know, it's easier. We hold grudges and talk ill about them and everything. And I don't think God wants us to do that. So I want to be a church that's going to pray through that with your eyes still closed, because we're going to be honest today. And then on 1, 2, 3, raise your hand if you got something against somebody. Just right where you're at, right in your, just leave it up for just a second. I just want, you got something against somebody. And if I heard it one more time, I'm fixing to just scream. We all got it. And let me pray for you. Keep your eyes closed. I just want to pray for you. So, Father God, I pray that you deliver these people from evil. That's what you said our prayer is supposed to be. And Lord God, and let us not be held in contempt with this, Lord God, and replace that that hate or that anger with love. Show us how to love everybody the way you love, and set us free from the shackles of hate. Set us free from the bondage of anger, and let us be free people that serve you, and let us please you, Lord God, instead of people, in thy name of Jesus, amen. Don't be part of the rumor mill. Don't be part of when they come to you with when the evil people, he said, avoid such people, and they're always going to be around, and they always call, and they say, Did you hear? I get that all the time. Did you hear? And I say, no, I didn't hear. If I wanted to hear, I would have heard. I work hard at trying not to bend an ear to things that are evil. Do you want me to concentrate on things that are evil or concentrate on the truth of the word? Let's don't burn up a bunch of energy concentrating on evil. He says, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. How do you know if somebody's a false teacher? How do you know somebody's a false preacher? Take them back to the word of God. But do it in love. Say, show me where that says that in the Bible. Or here's how you mediate a conversation between two people who don't like each other anymore. You walk up to them like this and go, where's God in this? Let me say it over here. Where's God in this? And if God's nowhere to be found in that, invite him in there. If God's nowhere to be found in there, invite him in there. Invite him in your marriage. Invite him in your business. Invite him in your finances. Invite him in your family. Invite him, invite him, invite him. He wants to be in there. Invite him in. Verse 3, I know you're enduring patiently. Patiently. Oh, man, patiently. You ever been in a restaurant where you wish they would have, since you walked in, don't you wish that they would have like 10 more waiters and waitresses when you walk in so you can get served real quick? And this is the way I think, and I know you guys don't, but I think this way. And I'm looking around because if I've sat down, I feel like I need to be served immediately. And I'm just going to tell you what's rolling around in me, my wife said. Well, they need to hire some more waitresses and waiters. But then God said, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray for the ones that they got? See, what we want what we want, and we're quick to criticize if we don't get it the way we want it. Enduring patiently. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. I don't know if I told you this, but I have to bring this up. And I waiting patiently. I either want my steak or bring me out another basket full of them hot rolls. Did I talk about that in the service yet? Okay. I got to tell you, let me do this confessional, and then I'll get back to the message. This plagues me. I want the steak, and that's what I've ordered. But if you come by, first of all, with the hot rolls and the 2 cups of butter, I want to anoint them little guys with butter and watch them disappear. It's like a magic act. And then after I ate one, you swear you're only going to eat the next one. And then after the basket's gone, you're like, what do I do now? She comes back by and goes, she asks the loaded question. Mickey, would you like to have another basket? I'm like, you're dang Skippy. We want what we want even when we shouldn't have it. And then, now I'm on something. And then we get it. We'll go, why did I ask for that? And then why did God give it to me? Because you got something that's kind of crazy. It's called free will. Somebody ought to clap on that one for a second. You got free. Paul, you could have said no, but you said, oh, yes. And let's do away with the cinnamon butter. That's it. Nobody can resist it. I felt like I was drinking again. I'm intoxicated by butter. Is everybody feeling better? You go, man, I'm glad I showed up at that church. That guy's messed up there. Woo! Come on, yuck it up right there. Oh, yeah. He's so messed up there. And I'm your pastor. You keep coming. Thank you, Father. Let's rise up together, and I'll have somebody who's going to come up and play a little music for us. Oh, you're all smiling. I hope you guys are ready for verse number 4, Mike. Amen. But I have this against you. Red letters, sorry, Mark. He's got this against you. He's got this against the church. He's got this against people. What is it? That you have abandoned the love you had at first. Don't you remember, Terry, when you first got saved, you told everybody about Jesus. Invited them to Bible studies. Let me work somewhere, Pastor. Where can I serve? Where can I do this? Bumper stickers, jewelry, Bible bags, markers everywhere. I want to be there all the time. He said, come back to your first love. Well, hold on now. I got to make sure I got this right. Because Jesus is saying this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. This means you have fallen. So if you're not doing the things that you used to do or even doing more of them or doing them with more zeal, here's what he said, class. He said to repent. That means turn from self and turn towards the Lord. Wow, that's a tough deal. Because here's the deal in this landscape here. We're thinking more is better. You know, more this and more that. And we got more information now. We got more media, and they're censoring the media, and they're controlling the media. Here's the deal. They might control the media and control and censor this, but they can never censor what's going on in this pulpit. Right here in this church, it'll never happen. Amen. You can't censor God. You can't shut God up. Tell the devil to back up here. You can go ahead, Shelby. All right, it says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen and repent and do the works you did at first. If not, what does it say? I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. And let's drop the house lights down back there, unless you repent. So what he's saying is, he says, I'm gonna end up taking your church from you. Hold on for a second now, Franny. You're talking about you're going to take the local church from us? He said, if all you guys are doing there is meeting in the building and you're letting politics control your narrative, you're letting people push you around. He goes, that ain't a church. That looks like a university. You've fallen victim to politics. You've fallen victim to the pressures of the world. You're going along to get along. And then God finally comes by that church where they're having the assembly. And he goes, I'm tired of you guys. He goes, you're smearing my name. He goes, that ain't what Christianity looks like. And here's what I believe, and I've said this for weeks on end. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Amen. And maybe God's not calling any of us to die for him. He just wants you to live for him today. Okay. So this is where everybody drinks the truth serum in John 16:13. I'll start in 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes. How many people are ready for the Spirit of truth? You can't believe anything anymore. Pam and Larry. You said, I could trust this department, or I could trust this political group. And then you found out it's nothing more than a bunch of backslapping going on. They're all drinking out of the same trough. Don't you wish they'd get God in their life? What would the world look like if everybody repented in the... and turn to God. He said, the Spirit of truth comes and he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will declare to you about the things that are to come. So this is the word of the Lord right now. So talking about being refreshed, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior that they would just do something very simple. It's quite frankly, it's the easiest thing and the most important thing you could ever do. The first thing, you got to admit you got a problem, Jack. Some of us are in denial. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I hear that from everybody. Senior, they're doing pretty good. What are you doing? Well, you know. No, I don't know. Tell me. Why don't you tell me? Next time somebody asks you a question, what are you doing? Say, I'm on fire for God. I'm telling people the truth. I'm looking them in the eye. I'm giving them a firm handshake. My word is my word. I'm a man of my word. I'm a woman of my word. I believe in the power of Jesus. He's baptized me into all truth. I stand for things that are righteous, and I avoid things that are evil. I don't touch it. My family don't touch it. We've moved on from it and moved on from its conversations. Pastor Pat, what would it be like if I gave my life to Jesus right here in the middle of this church? It's all kind of weird and uncomfortable. Let me tell you how uncomfortable hell is. It's a place of torment where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's pretty uncomfortable. And I don't want you to go there, neither does God. Would you like to give your life to Jesus today and just say, I want to be born again? Are you born again? I'm asking the question. Are you born again? Yes. Yes. Yes, I see a lot of heads nodding. And if somebody comes up with an I'm not sure answer, well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to roll the dice on that on Judgment Day, not knowing if you're saved or not. Just stretch your hands out to the sky and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want to live for you. I want to be a born-again believer. I want to walk in glory. I want to walk in power. I want to walk in love. I want to love my fellow brothers and sisters. I receive you now. Help me live for you right now. In thy name I pray. Amen.